Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
How's everyone? Good? Do you need a seventh inning stretch, or are we good? We're ready. Hey, turn your Bibles, turn into Ephesians 4. When Steve Schroeder was here, he said a line that I think we need to remind ourselves. I think it actually has to become a declaration, affirmation, and a prophetic word all the same. But he said, trust the seed. You remember when he said that? Trust the seed. Trust what you've planted. Trust what God's planted. Trust the seed. Because I'm going to start with a very brief story with my son. Seems like it's his season right now. I'm picking on my son a lot, and he's not here every time I do it, so maybe I should stop picking on him so he'll show up. But it's interesting. Trust the seed before I say the story, because it doesn't always look like we think it's going to look, does it? You know, don't we, as when we're raising kids, we picture what we think it's going to look like. We picture in our minds, we create this vision of how it'll walk out with our kids. And how many have ever had that complete vision walk out with your kids? How many have had it kind of maybe parts, forms, shapes, but usually a little different? Yeah. And how many, though, if you trust the seed, though, that God can do something? So I'm watching my son, and as we talk, you know, he's got this heart for the Lord, and at times it's rough around the edges, but as I listen and I trust the seed, I can hear what God's doing. But I want to start, because I want to do kind of a second part to that ownership we were talking about a couple weeks ago. How many remember? Please raise your hand. You remember I talked about ownership. All right, we're going to go a little bigger than that today, bigger ownership. But him and his friend Ethan were talking, and it was late at night. I'm like, who does this? Who talks about stuff like this? But they were talking about, what is the likelihood? Do they want to have children in the future? Like, here's two 22-year-olds talking after working out in the gym. It's 11 o'clock at night, and they're talking about whether they want to raise children in today's society. Now, we probably all at some point maybe asked ourselves that, but as I listened to them, it wasn't, well, you know, it's a fleeting thought. They were literally discussing whether they wanted to raise children and if they wanted to see them grow up in today's society. There's some, you know, I love our nation, but our nation is way too free. There's things that we allow to happen that should never be happening. And they see these things. They were in high school not too long ago, and they see what happened while they were in high school. They began to see what was happening at the end of high school. I don't talk much about it, but it might blow your mind, some of the things that they allow. Some of the things that would have been in our past considered mental illness, they just allow. And so today, as we dive into this topic, I realize that when we're looking at ownership, part of what the Lord wants to do in our hearts is to go, don't just take ownership for your kids, your house. We talked about last time about the church. We need to take ownership for the area and the nation that we live in. It's our watch. It's our time. It's our season. It's our, you know, and I want to dive into what that looks like, but I pray and believe that my son can grow in a world, in a nation where he wants to raise children. Come on. Don't we all want to have a seed, right? We want to trust the seed that we planted, and I want to see my kids be able to have their seeds come alive, because God called us to be fruitful and multiply. Amen. All right. Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians 4. Well, this is the scripture we looked at. Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 16 is what we're going to read. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. This is a review from 2 weeks ago. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. So let's read that again. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This is very different than thinking today where people go to church to let the pastor teach them and then they go home. What Christ did, what Christ wanted to see with the church was that we would equip the church to go do the work of the ministry. How many know that 100 could do a lot more than one? Right? So you are all ministers of the gospel. Tell your neighbor, I did not know I was a minister. Now we right away think, preach. Right? No. It's the work of the ministry. But he gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the body to do the work of the ministry. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. That's really important because my job is to equip you. And if I equip you well enough, that means that every time you see something on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, you name it, that you don't run off thinking it's the new face. And how many know that the world is running around with their heads cut off? And if you are not a discerner in this hour, you could be chasing something that is completely false. I'm telling you, AI is getting good. Anybody see something in AI and you're like, I did not know that was AI. I saw a video recently. It was an AI video created for, it was probably for marketing purposes, but it was created to give to their uncle. And it was basically these people telling a story. And at the very end of the story, like for instance, you know, you get that scam, that call that says, Dad, I'm, you know, or Uncle Joe, I'm in prison and you need to send money to get me out. Please, you got to send money. Well, they used to be able to do that with voice. Now they can do that with your image. They could do a call and make it look like you. And so the whole video was this person, you know, Joe, I need my money. And at the end he goes, fooled you. It's not really me. This is an AI. And I was like, holy cow, that is so real. So my point to that is that it says tossed about from every wind of doctrine. Well, we're going to see things in the coming days that we cannot jump on. I'm telling you, young people, don't repost until you've done your homework. And your first homework is you need to pray. Lord, is this really real? Is this real? Because we're going to see things, I'll tell you, in the near future, we're already seeing it. Caleb came to me one day about our Prime Minister Carney saying something about trucks and taking trucks off the road. And I watched the video and I thought, this looks really real, but I don't think it is. There's something in my spirit. I'm like, this is not right. So I researched it. Sure enough, it was fake. Chris Welch and I were together the other day and he hurt my feelings. He hurt me. I'm joking. But he said, did you know that Sylvester Stallone died? I'm like, what? Like, that's part of my heritage. That's part of my upbringing. That's Rocky. That's Rambo. Like, he's not dead. I would have heard about it. He's like, no, I saw he's dead. We looked it up. It's a complete hoax. He is still alive.
Yes.
Thank you. It's the biggest yes I've had yet. It's funny, though, when you see your upbringing begin to pass away. It's kind of a weird day. Anyway, we don't want to be immature like children tossed in to and from with every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like truth. Gosh, this is written 2,000 years ago and it sounds like we need it today, doesn't it? That we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own work. Did you see that? It makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. What's the point? I cannot do it without you. You cannot do it without me. We cannot do it without each other. Amen. Could amen that, brother. Sylvester Stallone is not as important as that. It's this. It's that we need each other, that you and I help each other grow, and if we don't function that way, we are actually functioning less than as the body of Christ. So the ownership we talked about 2 weeks ago was this thought that it's like society today makes people think that I'm the CEO of the business, therefore it's my job to make everything happen. And I tried to steer the ship away from that to go, no, this is our facility. This is our church. We are all part of this, and together we make it happen. Right? The founders had that understanding. They came in and they went, okay, we're building this. This is a fresh work. All of us together make it happen. And I talked about the fact that when you give something as an inheritance, the person that worked for it worked hard and it meant so much. And when you give it as an inheritance, the danger is that the next generation will take it and treat it lightly. And if it survives, the next generation will treat it even lighter. And so what was birthed out of hard work fades away. The last thing we want, 50 years from now, if you know the younger generation still alive, I would hate for them to drive by and to see this building, a bowling alley. Used to be a bowling alley. Manufacturing plant. Not because this building is all that. It's not about the building, but it is about the work that's being done here. And if it were to close because a generation didn't take ownership, what a tragedy that would be. Now, so I want to go into a different vein, though, because out of this building, what is supposed to happen? Well, we're supposed to take ownership of the area that we live in, right? You're supposed to take ownership of your house. You're supposed to take ownership of your children, and you're supposed to take ownership of the block that you live on. This is what I believe, and the area and the nation that we live in. Amen? Just amen me once in a while. Turn to Isaiah 58. If you've been around long enough, you know this is a verse that I love, Isaiah 58, 12. While you're turning there, if you could put the first slide up there. This is the definition of ownership. First slide. Oh, it's up there. Okay, if you can see it. It says, ownership is the mindset and commitment of taking personal responsibility for the success, health, and growth of something you believe in. Growth of something because you believe it matters and you see it as yours. If we could get them on the other screens, that would be helpful. It's hard to read up there. I'm going to read it one more time. Ownership is the, everybody say mindset. Right away, I want you to understand ownership is a mindset. How many know that your kids, my kids, don't have ownership mindset? I'm still like, if you have, I'm. This is one of the things. I'm like, Lord, how do I teach my kids to have ownership of the house that they live in? Because if I can teach them that when they move into their own place, they'll be so much further ahead. But it's a mindset that they need to begin with, that they go, I live in this house. I'm an adult. This is what we do often with our kids right now. We don't talk like they're kids. I'm like, guys, there are five adults living in this house. Five adults are going to take care of this house. You know, they're kind of living in that. I come home, what's for dinner? I'm like, I don't know. What's for dinner? It's your turn. Ownership. We got to change their mindset. That's what I'm trying to do with these two sessions. Mindset, change your mindset. Ownership is the mindset and a commitment. Mindset and commitment. When Claude, my mom, Mary, the different ones, Murray, when they said, let's build a church, they committed to it. I did a deep dive into looking. You know the things that are eroding ownership these days? It's things like this. You say, a phone? It's not just the phone. Do you remember when we got our phones? I don't know. I know we had at least four-year contracts when I started. Might have even been longer. Remember that day, four-year contracts? And then became three-year contracts. And then they became two-year contracts. There'll probably be a one-year contract in no time. Why? Let me give you another example. When I had my first new car, I remember going to the mechanic, something was wrong with it. And he said, oh, how old is it? I said, oh, I think it's 3 years old. He said, that sounds about right because your warranty's over, right? I said, yeah. He says, they build these cars to last about as long as the warranty and then things start to break down. And I've told this story before, but it was long ago. My parents, when we moved out of the house, they gave us furniture. Not furniture we wanted, furniture we needed. Okay? Remember those days? It's like, I don't care what it looks like. As long as I can sit on it and I have a couch, I'm going to be happy. And so we got that couch. We got that. It was Spanish. It was gold and black. It was interesting. Now, it was solid. We had a flood. Everything that I had owned or was cheap was no good anymore. But the things that they gave us, it was the things that lasted. Why? They're built to last. I'm like, soak up water and table. Just soak it up so I can get rid of you. No, it was so solid that it wouldn't even soak up the water. It was wood. Yeah, it was wood. It wasn't the particle board, the press board, whatever it is now. What's my point? If everything is throwaway, how do you ever take ownership? Right? If you can change everything just like this, you can never have ownership. You can go to a church, don't like the song, go to the next church. You never have ownership. You'll never sit down and go, I'm taking ownership. I am making a commitment, changing my mindset and making a commitment and taking personal responsibility for the success, health, and growth of something. Like, I want you to take personal responsibility for the growth of Ascend. Because if it's, you know how much weight that is if it's on my shoulders? This is not on my shoulders. This is on our shoulders. It's not Rod's shoulders. It's not Pastor Gary's shoulders. It's not my wife's shoulders. This is our church, our responsibility. And I loved it. I was so blessed the next day, or even the same day, I had a text from Tina and Jorge, and they're like, hey, can we get a team out to do weeding? Yes, that would be amazing. Now, how many know that there is a natural side and I need help with that? We need to do the natural thing. But I also want to talk about the spiritual stuff. Because when people walk through the door, they're not my new guest. They're our guests. Therefore, we take personal responsibility in those people that walk through the door. So the day that I preached this, we had a board meeting the next day, which is funny. I had a chance to share it. I'm preaching this message about ownership, and we have a brand new set of guests that are there. Now, this is why we need to change. What time do guests show up? Early, quarter to. The door's open, and they're sitting there, and there's nobody in the sanctuary. And we're just finishing up practicing. It was the most awkward moment, because I see them looking around like, where is everyone? And people sporadically came in, but it was terrible. Like, it literally 5 minutes after 10, and this place was still empty. You know, that's the easiest thing that we can take ownership of right off the bat? You shake your head, yes. That's the easiest thing. So help me out. What does that tell the person that's sitting here early when nobody shows up? Tell me some things that you think that, let's take ownership, that might put in their minds. Being on time doesn't matter. That's one. Thank you, Abby. Nobody goes here. This church is empty. Okay? What's that? Church isn't important to these people. Oh, that hurt. Oh, they don't want to. Who said that? They don't want to be here. So why would I want to be here if they don't want to be here? Right? Aren't these things that it would say, right? It's kind of like if you're walking in an area where there's a bunch, let's say that you're eating a wrapper, or you're not eating the wrapper, you're eating a chocolate bar, and you have the wrapper, and you're walking down an alleyway, and there's garbage everywhere. How many know it's more likely for you to drop that wrapper in that moment than a perfectly clean alleyway? Yeah. Because it tells you, oh, this is a really, like, I don't want to drop anything because people take care of it, or nobody takes care of it, so it doesn't matter. But when we take ownership of something, it matters. Just to finish it off, ownership is the mindset. Mindset, it's a commitment of taking personal responsibility for the success, health, and growth of something because you believe it matters. This is so key. Because you believe it matters, and you see it as yours. So when my son came to me the next day and said, I'm not sure I want to have kids, in that moment, it reminded me of the commitment of Isaiah 58, 12 that we're going to read. Because my son matters. Your children matter, or your grandchildren matter. And don't we want to see them grow up in a place where they feel like they can raise their children and they won't be put into a system that corrupts their minds? See, what you don't realize, this is stuff that is really happening because one of his friends has a friend that decided to be what's called a furry. A furry. This is a very real thing where you begin to think you are an animal. See, back in my day, when you thought you were an animal, you would be sat down. Okay, first of all, back in the day, if you're playing and you're an animal, you're just playing. We never thought we were animals. We knew we were in make-believe. Well, now we somehow have crossed over into, well, maybe you are an animal. And now in schools, because the law is so, you know, like if you do this, lawyers are going to get involved. And I don't know what parent would be like, let my kid be a furry. But there are parents out there that apparently do that. And nowadays, teachers have to be so careful that they don't interrupt the development of this child. That's crazy. I try to imagine somebody from the 1920s being, you know, time warped to now, and they'd say, you guys have corporately lost your minds. I think they would say, you have corporately lost your minds, that you think, like, there are some things I can go, okay, we could argue about this back and forth, but there are some things I'm like, that doesn't even make any sense. Born a human, you are a human, you're not an animal. Challenges, though, we're raising kids in these environments, and our generation that's next is going, I don't know if I want to have kids. But here's the challenge. There are other nationalities and religions that are having kids at great length. And they're already saying that nations will be overturned. The religion of nations will be overturned simply by having more children. So there's a lot of dynamics, and I'm not fearful of it because I think we can do something about it. Isaiah 58, 12. I do have a slide. Put that up if you could. So when Caleb told me that, it mattered to me, and I want to see something happen. So Isaiah 58, 12 says, it says, your people, and I put in there, who are your people? Well, he's talking to, he says, the people among you, or your people. So I added that means to me those who take ownership. So when we read this scripture, I want you to understand it's your people are those who take ownership, will rebuild the ancient ruins, and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. Those among us that take ownership can be the ones that begin to go, how do I play a part in overturning what's happening? Now, right away, we often want to go like, how do I get involved with government? And how do I come down? I don't go that route. I think some people can be raised to go in that route, but the reality is a lot of us, or most of us, will not feel the call to go into government. Some people will, though. So I say, how do we do it right now around here? There are foundation stones that are completely obliterated that I see as things that are leading to the crushing blow in people's lives that are coming. You know, one of the simplest foundation stones that I look at, I'm so grateful that Krista had parents and I had parents that instilled financial values into us. So they started with, you work hard. Every Saturday, whether I wanted to or not, we worked 2 hours every Saturday. He paid us, my dad, after we worked 2 hours. But he said, the first 2 hours are because you live in this house. And we're family, and this is what we do. Did I like it? No. Do I value it now? Absolutely. Because it's instilling in my kids, guys, this is part of ownership. We live here together. This is what we do. They put into us savings. You don't spend everything you get. You save, and you spend what you need to, and so on and so forth. And I'll tell you, as we were instilled with that and were able to buy a house, even when I was making next to nothing, We've been able to invest. Then we had friends come into our lives that taught us something else, another key that we needed. And we have been blessed, blessed, blessed. They taught us tithing. They taught us to give. They taught us to look for needs. These are foundation stones that a generation is not being raised with. You wouldn't believe the debt level. Chris, you live in this area. Both of you guys live. The debt level in people, the divorces that happen because of financial pressure. This is one area that we can begin to overturn. You know how you do it? You model. Or you have people that have skills that can get involved. And you begin to go, you know what? I can't take on every area, but I can take on this foundation stone that I can help rebuild. We have a Forge Training Center that is the vision that we will begin to have classes there. Here's the crazy thing is we have to figure out how to get them in. Because a lot of people don't connect the dots that they realize that you need to learn how to do this until it crashes. And I want to teach people to get them in before their lives crash. Here's a tidbit. These little things that I learned that I wouldn't know about. You know one of the biggest things that are causing financial ruin for kids between 18 and 25? Online sports gambling. I've never done that, so I don't know. But we were at the bank one day and we were just chatting it up with one of the girls while she was doing some work for us. And she said, you know, it's a tragedy. We're seeing kids come in. So what they do is they want to do online gambling, hoping to, you know, make it rich. And what they do is they find one of their friends that is legally old enough to do it. So they place their bets through that friend. It sounds great until it goes south. And what happens? They ruin that friend's credit rating. And when that friend goes to get a loan, sorry, we can't give you a loan. We can't lend you any money. You have horrible credit rating. Kids don't think through that. But it's going to take a group of people that begin to sit down and begin to say, hey, let's talk about this. Can I give you some advice? You may think this is a church. Why would we do things like that? Because those are the natural things that also lead to spiritual moments. Amen to that. Sometimes it's the natural moment that builds into being able to speak into somebody's life a spiritual thing. Because you built trust and you built, you know, my son and I, we talk as we drive all the time and he'll ask me questions. And the only reason he asks me questions, because we built that area of trust in our life. And he can ask me the hard questions. Same with my daughters. We had a couple over the other day and we're talking and they're newlyweds and looking at children. And I'm so blessed to be able to say, you know what? In our house, we talk about everything. There is nothing that cannot be put on the table. And sometimes they have shocked me with questions because they are in high school at the time and they come back and I'd be like, yeah, honey, what do you think? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or she'd be like, I don't know, that's a good answer for or a good question for your dad. But if we didn't have that ability to talk, our kids wouldn't be where they are today. So it says they will restore the foundations. Speaking of kids, there are so many people growing up that have, they don't have parents. They don't have at least parents that are there. Sad. But as a church body, we can begin to be those that come alongside and love and rebuild the city and the foundations. Amen? How much time do I have? I'm going to quickly go through something. Interesting enough, two stories that are really side by side. We're not going to turn to it. Nehemiah and Esther. How many know the story of Esther? Kind of. Yes. What was the movie made? Was it One Night with a King? I don't know how accurate that was. Some people may know, loosely based. It's interesting doing a deep dive into Nehemiah and Esther. They were both in the palace during the Persian reign. The other interesting thing about that is North Americans, we think every time somebody's going to take us over, the world must be ending. And then you read stories about old times and how many times people took over nations. It was so normal. So the Babylonians had captured the Jews. The Persians captured the Babylonians and the Jews. And so this story goes. And you have Esther, who is before Nehemiah. Esther is a Jew. Long story short is this, the king who is Xerxes, I'm trying to remember the name, how to say that, which is interesting because the Spartans, anybody know the Spartans? That's a true story. That was all part of the Persian. All this is happening. It was actually Esther's husband that went to war with the Spartans. I didn't know that until I researched it. So you have Esther who gets picked to become the next king's wife. You have this plan that Haman, who is kind of like the evil character in the story, he hatches this plan to destroy the Jews. And the king says, okay, he doesn't know what's going on, but he says, okay, if you want to, if that's a good thing to do, let's kill all the Jews. Mordecai is the one that raised Esther. He raises the alarm and says, if this goes through, we're all dead, including you, Esther, as the queen. Because if he finds out you're a Jew, you're going to die too. Long story short, Esther takes ownership, goes before the king. She overturns the plan. It's a great story. We don't have time for it. The point I want to bring, which is really interesting, is Esther in her role as royalty goes before the king and overturns the entire situation. It's interesting that Nehemiah comes next. What was his role? He served the king. Many theologians wonder if Nehemiah took a stand because he knew that Esther took a stand. Really interesting. That one models it, the next will follow it. And so Nehemiah takes a stand and they go and they literally begin to rebuild the ruins. My point to that is the very thing we're talking about. Esther and Nehemiah and Ezra, they all took ownership of the situation that they found themselves in. What I think is super interesting is Nehemiah didn't even have to do that. He could have stayed in the king's palace without any problems, but Nehemiah chose to get involved in the situation. So my question as a church is this. How do we take ownership of our families, begin to raise healthy families? And most of you have done that. Another generation is growing up in here. Josh and Corinne, how you guys doing? You're just starting that journey to raise a child. You've gone through things, and now you want to raise your child differently. And I love it. I hear you guys are doing a great job, and I celebrate that. But it's going, yeah, it's awesome. But we have a generation that's going, how do I raise my kids in this crazy society? We need to come alongside. We need to take ownership. We have a church. We're out of this church. We do ministry. We need to take ownership. But we have a nation, and we need to take ownership. Because we can't sit back, come to church, sing kumbaya, and go, we did what we were called to do. We have to say, not on my watch. Right? We need to be Sylvester Stallone and rise up. And it's not just this fight that we need to do. Honestly, I believe it's taking one person at a time and loving on them. Because here's the crazy thing. If I do it, I can affect one. If we all do it, we can affect 200. And then 2 years from now, when they've come through and they're healed, 200 can affect 400. You following me? But if we do nothing, 4 years from now, we'll be talking about the same thing. Wondering when revival is going to come and change everything. Now, I would love to see that happen in an instant. But in the meantime, let's start with one person. And when you make a connection with somebody because you know, then you start to love on them. Can you put up that last slide? And then we're going to have communion. And the ushers, if you would get the communion ready. Coming in August, Pastor Rod is doing kids camp all on finding hope. We're going to be doing simultaneously in here something called Hope Revived When All Seems Lost. So here's the crazy, this is easy. How many want something easy to do? Easy's good. Push the easy button. These people don't know it yet because I haven't actually talked to them, but I'm going to have somebody like Dorman share 1 week for about 15 minutes, and I'm going to tackle in 1 week, we're going to tackle Hope Revived from Addictions. And Dorman's going to share his story. Another week, I'm going to have Bruce come up and share his story. like truly hope revived when all seems lost, when your job, your marriage, and everything is crashing. And I'm going to let you know, I'm going to place, I haven't talked to them, so I don't have an order yet of when we're doing what. But those are just two of the weeks that we're doing. And what I love for you to do when you find out this is the week and this is the topic about hope revived, who can I invite that needs to hear this message? Okay, that was the easy part. Right? That's how, as easy as it is to go, okay, Bruce has a story about losing it all, about finding out his son committed suicide and he got cancer. He found that out on the same day. How do you have hope and come back from that? Surely there are people that you and I know that need to hear a message like that. Or Dorman, you know, years of addiction, cocaine, strung out, but he's been through it. With Erica, who had cancer and walking through all this. And I tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm sure things were knocking on your door in that season of going, it'd be so easy to check out right now. Like, I don't know, maybe, maybe not. But I'll tell you, somebody needs to hear that story. I want to do one on marriage because I know marriages are under attack. So the simplest thing is we'll get cards for next week. You can let somebody know, hey, I just want to let you know that we're doing a whole series on hope. And if you have kids, it's really cool because your kids could be going upstairs finding out about hope. But if not, that's okay because we're going to be talking about this topic on this date. And I just know what you've been through, and I think it would be amazing for you to be here because it's not all religion and weird. It's, they're going to talk straight up. You following me? Yeah. Religy. I just made up a word. Sometimes we can be weird. I need a communion. You know what else you can do to take ownership? We've got all this going on. You know, in the month of August, what I love for people to do? Anyone want to tell me? Bring someone. Help out would be amazing. But I'm going back to something we already talked about that's easy. Come early. So when people walk through the door as guests, that they see a vibrant place. The easiest thing you could do is go into the Forge, come at 9:30 and grab a coffee and meet with somebody. That's the reason why we have that open. You know what I'd love to see? Ask me. Thank you. The Forge, in the mornings at 9:30, full of people having meetings where they're talking about life, mentoring. Having coffee with someone that's going through a rough time and going, why don't we meet at 9:30, the Forge? This is what Jay's been talking about anyway. Let's have a coffee together. Let's talk about it. I've had a chance. Josh is not here. Josh and I go, we've done one. We talk on the phone a lot and we talk about guy stuff while we go for a walk. And he asks me questions and we just talk about life. And I feel so privileged to be able to be a part of his life as he's making drastic changes in his life that started because of the men's group. But it's a walk. It's exercise that I love to do. And we just talk. We talk about what it looks like to raise a family and different things, exercise. What a privilege to be able to do that. So maybe there's somebody in this room that's on your heart and you can say during the month of August, let's meet and have a coffee, 9:30. And then when people walk in, people are here. What a strategy, right? Just say, Esther, do you know what? Esther was at the right time at the right place and she was willing to give up her life. She took ownership of the situation so all the Jews wouldn't die. But here's the thing that she did. She had a strategy. She got the people to fast and pray and she had a strategy to go in to the king. Because if you went to the king, you could die without being summoned. That's the part she said, I'll do it even if it's gonna cost me my life. But I have a strategy to overturn this. What I'm giving us is a simple strategy, showing up on time, talking and having coffee with people and begin to speak into their life. In return, people walk through that door that are guests and go, this is a really happening place. People wanna be here. Therefore, I'm already excited to be here because other people wanna be here. You see how easy it is? The opposite is I show up early because we show up early to things because when you go to the show, you show up early. So surely you should show up early to a church to honor God. Anyway, So you show up early and nobody's here. And what we do immediately is we turn people off from the very thing that they want to be turned to. Right? It's a simple strategy. And then we get bigger. I see in this place people that could be doing seminars in there that would change people's lives. We've tried it, and you say, oh, we've already done it. I know, we've done it. Inspired Date Night, I'll let you know. We're doing this about marriages. You know how many couples we have signed up? Two. One of them had to cancel. So I have to fight frustration because I'm like, we're going to pour into marriages. Now, please don't sign up because you feel guilty. That's not what we're looking at. But I'm looking at going, how we want to impact marriages. Chris and Julie are part of the team now. They want to impact marriages. We got to get people out to impact marriages, right? The men's night, we got to get people out to impact men. Women's night, it all starts with us being excited about what God's doing. Can you put that definition one more time of ownership? Ownership is the mindset and commitment of taking personal responsibility for the success, health, and growth of something. You know, I wonder with Esther if Esther probably could have went a while because she didn't tell. It's a lot of the story we didn't talk about, but Esther was a Jew, but she didn't tell the king that she was a Jew. She might have gone her whole life without ever being discovered. She could have said, listen, I don't want to rock the boat. I'm in a good place right now. I don't want to take ownership of this situation, so I'm just not going to say anything. It was Mordecai, who was her cousin. Interesting, taking ownership. It was Mordecai, the cousin of Esther. When she lost her parents, Mordecai stepped up and took ownership and raised Esther. And raised her to the point where she would be able to do all that she did. So we can look at going, thank goodness that Mordecai took ownership. And so we could live right now. Some of you are older. I didn't say old. I said older. I'm 51. Let's just coast. But when I heard that from my son, that my son would consider, I know he'll get married, he'll fall in love with somebody and they'll want to have kids. But the fact that he would even talk at night to go, do we want to have kids in this hour? I want to take ownership of that problem. And what can I do now to help change that? So 20 years from now, this is my hope. This is my hope and my belief. I believe 20, 30 years from now, we'll write about a season in history that we lost our collective minds. And then it got overturned. I really do believe that. We're beginning to see glimmers of it. And it's interesting, there are people that are taking stances that aren't even Christians, but they have influence and authority, and they are standing up. One of the ones that we'd be like, you know, a lot of people would have written this person off, and you can find 100 things maybe you don't like about the person. But she wrote the, Harry Potter. What's her name? Rollins, J.K. Rollins. J.K. Rollins, who has incredible influence. Harry Potter, you know, most of us grew up, you're not allowed to watch Harry Potter because it's got witchcraft and all that. And my kids still talk to me about that. Why couldn't we watch Harry Potter? But here you have a girl who you would look at it and go, look at the witchcraft and all that. And I agree, there's a lot of that in there. My point is this, when she began to see everything that was happening, she took a stand for the sake even of her own reputation. And she said, we are losing our collective minds. This is crazy. Where you're having gender mutilation at ages that should never even, like they're not even thinking straight. Like it's like a kid that goes, I just want to choose today to be different. Let's go have hormone therapy. She took a stand against that. And you know that UK is beginning to overturn these laws. Because somebody took a stand because they were in a place of influence like Esther. So we need to pray for that. People to take stands. Amen? So we take communion though. Why do we take communion with something like this? Not just to do it, because to me, part of communion is saying yes together. Of saying, look what the Lord has done for us. But Lord, I want to take communion, so I want to be a part of that kingdom. I want to do what you call us to do. So let's take that in mind today. Lord, we thank you Look, if we're talking ownership, there is nobody that took more ownership than you did. When you sent your son to be crucified, a most horrible death, you could have chosen not to. You could have chosen to keep the law, to let people try to make it on their works, to try to make it without grace. But Lord, you took ownership of mankind because you love us, and you sent your son for us, and you broke his body for us. So Lord, as we take communion, thank you for taking ownership. Thank you for loving us enough to send your son. Lord, I pray that as we take it today, that you would help us to see the part that we can play. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your blood that was shed. Lord, you shed your blood so we could be washed clean. Lord, you shed your blood so the grace of God would be poured out upon the world. Lord, we thank you for that grace. We ask, Lord, that grace would impact us again. The fullness of your grace would impact us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we close today, Chris and I were talking about this yesterday. You know, something really difficult is that you leave here with a word that I want you to meditate on. Before you go to bed tonight, you'll have heard 5 or 6 other words. Not just meaning like you'll listen to other sermons, but a lot of people do. A lot of people will go and they'll dose themselves with all these sermons. And I'm like, how do you, like, if you can't listen to one and put the words in action, how do you listen to 4 and put the words in action? But not only that, you'll hear something that you'll think about. You'll meditate on something that you read, all these things. So what I'm asking is that you would really begin to take this message and go, how do I take ownership? That as you go through your week, that you would look around for the needs that you know you can meet in people's lives. Now, I'm not talking a need where you just go and bring them something. Maybe that's it. I'm talking where you go, gosh, I think I have a key for this person. I just need to go for coffee with them. You know, that new person at church, we connected. I just need to set up a time next week, Sunday at the Forge, so we can have coffee together. That we would begin to take it seriously and go, Lord, how do I take ownership? How do I commit taking it personal, taking responsibility for the success, health, and growth of Ascent, for your neighborhood, for Ontario, and for this nation? Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand? So, Lord, we say thank you. We say help. We say, Lord, would you give us creative ideas? But, Lord, more importantly, would you open our eyes to see the needs around us? Lord, that we would take ownership like Esther and Nehemiah, and we'd say, it's going to cost, but on my watch, I cannot let this happen. Lord, help us. Help us to see every day the needs. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.